And as we begin, I've just given you a number of optical illusions on the front and on the back. And as you look at them, I'm just going to ask you, when you look at the first one, the top one here, what do you see? Two words. I'll give you a hint. Two words. Optical and illusion. Well done. What about the next one down? What do we see there? Victory or defeat? Brilliant. Well done. Okay, so flip to the back. I'll do the top one in a moment. But the one down the bottom, what do you see? A tree, like a landscape, and what else? Yeah, a face. An old man with a beard. Okay, so that's what we see there. Now, this is the real tricky one. The one up the top, how many people do you see in the picture? If you said three, you're right. If you said two, keep looking. It's actually a father and a mother and a daughter. Optical illusions. At times, it can be very difficult to see what the true picture is. And at times, I find that the same when it comes to our Christian walk, and in particular, sharing the gospel with people. So I want to ask you this morning, why do you share the gospel with people? And you might think about that, and a lot of people might answer, well, my love for people compels me to share the gospel. My love for people means that I want to tell them about Jesus. And it sounds a pretty good answer, doesn't it? But let's think about that statement for a moment. My love for people compels me to share the gospel with them. Does that mean if you don't love someone, you don't share the gospel with them? Does it mean that, you know, if we're honest, do we love everyone in this room? God says we should, but do we? And if the answer is no, and we probably, some of us will say no, then do we share the gospel with them? Now, you might even think about the verses that David read out in 2 Corinthians 5, and you see a verse there that actually backs up that comment. It says this in verse 14, "For Christ's love compels us." You see it? It's right there. Our love for people justifies us in sharing Jesus with people. But that's not what the verse says, is it? We often take that. That's what we often respond to. But what does it actually say? For Christ's love compels us. Now, that's why I think about optical illusions. Sometimes something that is right there in front of us can actually be hard to see. We often would say, my love for someone compels me to do something. Actually, my feelings have nothing to do with it. It doesn't matter whether I love someone or not. Verse 14 says, Christ's love compels the Apostle Paul. It compels us. How I feel, how he feels about people doesn't matter. Because of what Christ has done, because Christ's love for Paul, Paul is compelled to share the gospel with people. And when we unpack these verses, we see Christ's love. But what does it tell us about Christ's love? Verse 14, because we are so convinced that one died for all and therefore all died, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. We see Christ's love in the fact that he died for all people. He didn't just die for the Jews around him at the cross. He didn't just die for everyone who was there at that cross. From that moment on, including you and I, he died for us. It doesn't matter whether a person's a good person or thinks they're a good person. It doesn't matter whether someone is a sinner. It doesn't matter whether someone does evil. The verse reminds us that Christ died for all people. And that's a real challenge, I think, for us. Because at times when we get angry with someone, times when we think ill of someone, we lose our temper, sometimes for whatever reason, we make a choice, I'm not actually going to share the gospel with someone. I think we forget that Jesus died for all people. I think we need to remember he died for us when we were his enemy. Down in verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here." I mean, as David mentioned, there's a whole sermon that you could have just on this one little verse. But for the moment you start to follow Jesus, that's what it says, if anyone is in Christ, for the moment you believe and follow Jesus, you are a totally different person. You're a new creation. It's not like you have your old foundation, your old life, a few things get cut off, there's a paint job, a little bit of restoration, a little bit of remodeling. No, from the moment you become a follower of Jesus, you are a new person. You are a new creation. You begin a whole new life. Isn't that amazing? That Christ loves you so much that no matter what you've done in the past, even if you are the most evil person on the planet, even if you're a person who cannot forgive yourself for what you've done in the past, God forgives you because of what Jesus did. And not just forgives you, but he doesn't hold that sin against you ever again. That's a new creation. That is something that we have. That's love. But more than that, verse 18, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. We've been reconciled. We know what reconciliation is. You know, reconciliation is when you end hostility between two parties and you get peace between them. Okay, we know what it is. Christ's love for us, shown through his death and resurrection, says that while we were his enemies, not family, not friends, not good people, as far as God is concerned, if you don't know and love and follow his son, you're his enemy. But out of Christ's love for us, God knew we can't fix our problem, that broken relationship between us and God. So God does it for us. Did you notice that in the verse? All this is from God who reconciled us to himself. God is the one who does the reconciliation. All we have to do is accept the gift of what Jesus has done for us. All we have to do is accept the love that Jesus has done for us when he offers us forgiveness for our sin. So the obvious question for us to think about first and foremost is, have we accepted that gift? Have we accepted that love? And do we actually know and love and follow Jesus today? Because God wants to be reconciled to us. That's why his son died for you. Have you accepted it? Yeah, and that's love. God wants us to be a part of his family again. And it's this love that compels Paul, he says in verse 14. But compels him to do what? What is his response to the love of Jesus and the love of what Jesus has shown him by dying on that cross? Well, verse 11 begins the response. Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, in other words, follow Jesus, we try to persuade others. The word persuade here is the picture of going up to someone and talking to them and using a logical argument to try to tell them about Jesus. We would simplify it to say sharing the gospel with someone. How well do you do that? How well have you done that in this last week? Because remember, what the Apostle Paul is saying here is it is Christ's love that compels us. So if you know Christ's love, this is what you would be doing. Have we, this last week, made the effort to go and try to share Jesus with someone? If we haven't, when was the last time that we did it? Gets us thinking, doesn't it? We often think that to share Jesus with someone, we know we should, but we probably don't. We start to think, well, that's Stephen's job, or that's the deacon's, or that's the SRE at school, or the chaplain at school, whatever it might be. We think it is someone else's job. The challenge from Paul, if you actually know Christ's love, then that should compel you to do it. And if you think this morning, well, actually, I haven't done it in a very long time, the next question is why? Is it because you don't know what to share, what to say? And if that's the case, then come and talk to me, come and talk to David or one of the other deacons, and we can help with that. Because if it is something that we should be doing, but we're not, why aren't we? But more than that, Paul says, it's not just persuading, it's not just not being willing to talk. It's also how we live our life. Look at verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now, we know ambassadors are people that represent one nation to another, and they often bring a particular message or they're going to talk about certain things. In the New Testament, the apostles, in a way, their title apostle was exactly that. They were God's messenger. They were representing God, taking his message to other people, in a sense, to other nations. Paul says here, from the moment you start to follow Jesus, you represent God. From the moment you start to follow Jesus, life is not about you. In a sense, life is not about your country. Paul doesn't say here, the moment you start to follow Jesus, you're an ambassador for you. He says, no, you're an ambassador for Christ. And that's why he says, we implore you then on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God. Now, you often hear me talk about that we are, in a sense, God's mouthpiece or God's signpost to others. Because, yeah, we know we don't change people's lives for God. God does that. But God uses us. And that's what Paul is saying here. God uses us to speak to others. God uses us to live a life, to be an ambassador, so they will look at our lives and then ask us, why are we different? And that gives us that opportunity to tell them about God. But do we do it? How well do we do it? How well are we being as ambassadors for God today? Now, Paul says, if you truly know Christ's love, and it's Christ's love that compels you to talk and to live for God. Again, if we're not doing it, do we know God, know Christ's love? Do we actually understand what he has done for us? Or do we sometimes take it for granted? Or is there some other reason why we're not actually doing what God wants us to do? Let me ask it this way. When you think about how you live your life today, are you living your life for the same things that Christ died for? See, it's a slight different way to think about it. Are you living your life for the things that Christ died for? That's what Paul's challenging us here. Christ loved us so much he died. Christ loved us so much we've been reconciled with God. Christ loved us so much we know the moment we start to follow him, we have a new creation, our sin is not held against us, and we can know for certain from that moment we've got a place in heaven for eternity. And we just rejoice in that. But understanding that, knowing that, does it then drive us out to speak for God and to live for him? Do we know and understand the love that God has for the world? When you think of your neighbors, you think of your schoolmates, you think of your workmates, you think of maybe someone you actually are having a few problems with at the moment. Do you realize that you've never seen You've never met anyone that is not valuable to God. Everyone is valuable to God. How have you treated them? Have you treated them like Christ treated you when he said, I'm willing to die for you? Or have we treated them in another way? See, going back to what I said at the beginning, often we say, my love for people is why I share Jesus with them. My feelings have nothing to do with it. Because of the awesomeness and the greatness of what God did for me, that should be my driving force. Is it for me? Is it for you? Let me just finish this morning with a cute little story that I think really drives this home in a picture. A mother and a child were heading home after church on a Sunday, and the little girl asked her mother, and she said, Mum, I've got a few questions about what the minister said today. Her mother was amazed. Her daughter had been listening. And she said, well, what? What are the questions? And she said, well, the minister said that God is so big that he could hold the world and everything in his hand. And the mother thought, wow, she was listening. Yeah, that's true. That's what he said. It's true. And the little girl goes, okay. The minister also said that God lives in our heart. And her mother is continually being amazed. And then the little girl pops up and says, when we follow Jesus. And her mother said, yeah, you're right. God is so big, but also lives in us. And she said, Mom, that's my problem. And she said, well, what do you mean? And she said, if that's true, if God is bigger than us and he lives in us, wouldn't he show through? Think about it. What the little girl was saying was that when she went, if that was true, if God was bigger than all and God was in us, he should shine through. But she didn't see it at church. We think about this coming week. He should shine through, shouldn't he? Through what we say, through what we do, through how we live, people should see God in us. They should look at us and see, it's obvious you belong to God. When we go out this week, even today, what are we going to show people? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I just ask this morning that you forgive us, even though we say we love and follow you, as a lot of people in this room would. But Lord, it's very easy for us to look inward to ourselves and realize we're just being ambassadors for ourselves. So Father, forgive us for that when we take our eyes away from you. Forgive us if we ever take for granted what your Son did at the cross for us, for your love that you've shown us. Lord, do we look at all people as though they are all valuable? Do we look at all people as though we have an opportunity to share the love with them? Or do we make choices not to? Father, forgive us when we make the wrong choice. Lord, help us through your Spirit this week to be your mouthpiece, to be your sign, your billboard to those around us. Father, we want, as the Apostle Paul asked the church at Corinth, he wanted people to be reconciled to you. And Lord, that's what we want. We want more people to be a part of your kingdom. And if you can use us this week, Lord, to help with that, we ask for that in your name. Amen.